Okay, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. As you know, that's like last call, the cancellation for, yani, help me when I ask for help. I'm not testing you, I'm just, I need your help, okay? When I ask a question, doesn't mean I'm trying to, okay. You can hear me, okay. So tonight we will talk about Gideon. Do you know anyone hear about Gideon before? Gideon, not God, Gadol. Okay, so, okay, thank you Yusuf for not talking from now until I finish, thank you. Yeah. So, first of all, let's, as before, we will talk about where are we in the history, right, in the Bible. So, starting from Adam and Eve, and then after Adam and Eve, and Yusuf after Adam and Eve, okay, that after sin, we came to Noah, and after Noah, Abraham, and Abraham started the people of God, right? And then Isaac, Jacob, and they went to Egypt, and in Egypt they started to be like kind of slaved, and then Moses came and crossed the Red Sea, and it came to Joshua, who entered with people of God to the Holy Land, right? After the period, after Joshua, there is a period called Judges, right? Where we are now, Judges. And when we talk about Judges, not like a judge is like the court of law and judge, like, you know, it wasn't that way. Judge was a person who was selected by God. It was like, you know, kind of warrior more than anything else. So what happened in this period of time? Okay, God made like a kind of deal with his people. If you worship me and if you follow me, you will be in peace and everything will be fine. If not, God kept in the first chapter of Judges, God kept some people, okay, to a kind of, you know, to get his own people back when they sin. So the kind of, you can say it's a punishment, but punishment because he wants them to get back to him. So they have like kind of deal, and they said, no, you know what, we will worship you, God, and we will not do anything wrong. And he told him, when you go and enter the land, you will find idols. Do not worship these idols. Don't do any kind of relationship with them. I am the God, and you worship me. And they said, yes, okay. What happened was not the case. They started to worship every single idol in this world. And even worse, they started to build their own idols. So in this period of time, in the Judges, it happened that way. The key word, or the key of this, the Judges book is like, you know, peace. And after peace time, like people of God start to worship idols, and then God punished them, and they cry to God, and God sent someone to deliver them, like, you know, deliverer kind of. It happened a lot of time, and there was like 14 judges through like 350 or 400 years. In Hebrew, St. Paul talked about this people, and he selected some of them as the people of faith, and he talked about Gideon and Samson. Samson and Gideon, they are two opposites. Why? Gideon was the kind of man, he does not believe he can do anything. He when God called him, when we will talk about him in the story, he didn't believe that he can do it. So he's starting from zero, and God walked with him. He led him until he started to be like a hero. And he was like, through his life, in the 4 years of his life, there's like peace and everybody was like happy. Samson was the opposite. Samson was like a hero, superhero actually. He could do everything. But he started to be lose until he came to be zero from hero to zero, getting from zero to hero, the opposite way. So let's start about the... Okay. So the music kind of background, we can use Yusuf for that. Okay, so in Judges chapter number 6 and 2:8, this is the story of Gideon. It's very interesting story. Why? Because this guy, he remind me with us. You know, we are when God calls us for service or for to follow Him. Sometimes I feel like, you know, who am I? Like, I can't do it, God. I can't do it. We will see now how God treat this guy in a way. He believed in himself and he did miracles, actually, if you can see that. Okay, we started from, if anyone has the Bible, you can open Judges number 6. Chapter number 6. So what happened? In this time, people, like, let's start it from the beginning of chapter. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian. So this time, these people was like, okay, God punishing them. And for 7 years, they are punished by Midianites. These people, Midianites, they were so tough. And you know what? They were like trying, like Israel, every one of Israeli people, like they're trying to hide from them. They are taking their corpse. They're taking their food. They are killing them. And until this guy, and they start to cry to God until God heard the cry of his people, and he sent his angel of God. The angel of God, when we talk about angel of God, angel of the Lord, in the Old Testament, most of time is like the second person of the Holy Trinity, Jesus Christ. So this guy, Gideon, was like, you know, very, very simple farmer. When we hear about his story, it's like really, really simple. And what he was doing, he was trying to hide wheat from this guy, Midianites. So what he was doing, let's read from 11, verse 11. Someone can read it for us.
Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizurite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the wine press in order to hide it from the Midianites.
So what he was doing a very, very simple job, but he was very honest on that. So what he was doing threading the wheat in a wine press. What does it mean? Usually when they thread the wheat, they do it in the top of the mountain, okay? Because the wind can take the and you know, we need the wind, so it has to be open area, right? Wine press is not open area, it's very enclosed area. But he was trying to hide the wheat from Midianites. So he's doing, you know, wine press is like the area when they do wine by stepping in the grapes and make wine. But he was doing that, so he was doing something to hide. It's not something to be proud of. And then God came to him in this place, who is like, you know, for him is like, you know, I'm trying to hide, I'm very weak. But God came to him and he told him something very like, it was weird even to him. He told him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Like, he wasn't in a situation, someone come to him and tell him, you know what, you're mighty and might of valor. It's like, you know, he's trying to, like, you're great. He wasn't. He was trying to hide. He was very afraid from these guys, and he's trying to save some wheat for his own people. But he was very honest of doing that. He sacrificed himself. He risked his own life of doing that. So God saw this as a kind of, you know, you are mighty of valor. Gideon, he was like, you know, he asked very important question. And sometimes most of us, like, I asked this question many times in my life when I suffered. He told him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Why we're suffering if the Lord is with us? If I'm coming to the church, if I'm taking from the communion, if I'm doing everything good, I'm reading the Bible, I pray, why this thing has happened? Why am I in a stress? Why am I not happy? Okay? If the Lord with us, why all this happened to us? And where all these miracles which our fathers told us about? Where the Red Sea, where the manna coming from the heaven, where is the water, where is all of this out of the rock? We heard about God, the God of miracles, but I don't see him. I don't see him that way. I see him in the way he's away from us. He left us. He left me. He left me under stress. He left me just suffering in my life. So where is God and why he's not with us? It's, I don't know, like myself, I ask this question a lot. I'm not sure if anyone else did the same, but I mean, Gideon was very, he was very straightforward in his question, like, you know what, you're telling me, and this is very, very important skill in this guy. He didn't hear the word of God and just, you know, oh yeah, hey, thank you so much, you know. No, God told him, I'm with you. So he challenged him. He's like, you know what, you're telling me you're with me. Where is that? You know what, do the same with God. When you hear the word, like, do not be afraid or fear not or anything, tell him, you know what, I have fear, you know, I don't know. You're telling me something, God, okay, I believe in that, but I don't see it. Can you please show me? Can you guide me? And he will do whatever he did with Gideon. So the Lord answered him. And he's still asking the question, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? So this guy knew the Bible. He read the Bible. He knew the history. He knew the miracles of God. He knows God. He knows God. But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of Midianites. Then the Lord turned it to him and said, go in this might of yours. Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel. Here is it, like, you know, this verse, like, stopped me a lot. Like, you know, he is trying to complain about God left him. So God told him, you know what, with this might, I would say with this doubt, like, but the God saw it as might. What kind of might do you think God saw in this guy? Like, I would say with this doubt, you cannot do anything. You need a lot of work. But God didn't say that. He told him, with this might, go and save Israel. Wow. He didn't say anything, say, like, it's not, like, in situation, not nothing. I don't know what kind of might. What kind of might did you think about this guy, Gideon?
Like, his passion, like, he's like, why?
He's curious. Let's start from this guy was doing what? He has care about his people. Like, he's trying to hide the wheat and he's rescue his life for that. That's number one. He's caring. Number two, as you said, he's like trying to, you know, I know you, God. I know this is not God who I know. Why did you leave us? Like, he has faith. He has faith. Even if he's asking that, but he still has faith. So with this might, with this even knowledge of Bible, with this might, you go and save Israel. Have I not sent you? And God here started to send this guy. And it's very interesting story of this guy. He was very, as I told you, he's a very simple farmer. He told him, okay, you know what? listen, I don't believe in, like, I can't believe you're telling me this. So I need a sign. I need a miracle. Just give me something. But before you do that, I will go and cook something for you. Don't leave. Just give me a minute. I'll go and cook you stuff. And, you know, and then you'll show me the sign. And he went and he's like, cooked like meat and bread. And he came to the Lord and he told him, okay, now show me a sign. So the Lord, okay, put this in the on the rock. And then was like, he touched it. And like a fire came from the heaven and ate everything. It was like, wow. So this guy. And even God disappeared with it. And Gideon was like, oh, okay, hold on. I saw God. That means I will die. Like, okay, he's very, like, his mind was very, God is coming to him to tell him, you will save Israel. But then, and he all what he thinking, you know what? Let's the notion of if I see God, God will see me, and the Holy God will see my sin, so I will die. So it's like, I will die now. I'm crying. So God came to him back. Just relax. I came to you to save Israel. So you will not die. You will be fine. Just go, and I will come to you. I'll come back to you, and I'll tell you what to do. So he's like relaxed, and he's like, okay, I will wait until God tell me what he's. At the same day, God came to him. God came to him when, Tamer? When did God came to him? Come to him. At the same day. Okay, in the same day. So, and he told him something very important, and this very important message to us. He told him, before you go and save Israel, go and, like, you know, tear the idol. His father, he has like idol in his, like in the house, in his own house, and he told them, before you do anything, go and destroy this idol. And this is a very important message for us. Before we start our way, or our journey with God, or our service, we have to destroy the idols inside us. We have to do that, because what happens sometimes? We come to the church. Come to the youth group and we take from the communion. But we come with our own idols. We carry our own idols inside us. And we have, like, we wonder why nothing happened to me. There is no change. Yes, because you have to get rid of the idols. What kind of idols we're talking about? Of course, we don't have, like, you know, this idols at home, but what idols we can have inside us? That's a question. Like, what else? What else? What? Success? Like, from one? It will never end. Okay. Yeah. A lot of stuff, like, especially like, in our community here, a lot of stuff. Maybe idols of whatever. I don't know what, like pornography, something like, anything. Anything can we worship that we cannot go without. You know, this is the, like, do you remember the rich man when he came to Jesus? He told him, okay, you have only one thing to do. This one thing to do, it's one step. Like, you're away from the kingdom of God, there's only one thing to do. But he, like, he's in love with his money, so he couldn't. And he went sad. So God is telling us, before you start, this is one thing. But God, I love it. I cannot go without it. Can you let it? No, it would not be that way. So God told him, you know, you go and tear up this guy, this destroy it, and then we will start. And he waited until the night come, and then he took like 11 or 10 of his friends, and he did it. At night, and he destroyed the Baal idol or house. And when the city, like, wake up in the morning and is like, oh, who did that? And he went to his father, his dad, and he's like, you know, we know that Gideon did the same, he destroyed the Baal. But his father was like, you know, If you believe that Baal is the god, don't fight for him. He will fight for himself. And he called his son, his own son, he called him a very interesting name, Jerubbaal. Jerubbaal means, let Baal plead against him because he has turned down the Baal. So he called Gideon. From Gideon, he changed his name to let Baal kill him. So Gideon from now on is like, hi, I'm let Baal kill him. Like, let Baal kill him. So that was his name. Even the Bible is not. But this is very interesting story. Why? Sometimes in the city, in his community, this is kind of shame, you know. Let Baal kill him, is kind of shame. But in front of God, he's against Baal. He's the enemy of Baal. So he's something like that's something to be proud in front of God, right? So it's the same with us. And the sign of cross, for example, like whatever, you're coming to the church every, like, you know, Friday night, which is, in, like, if you're talking to your colleagues at the school, it's like, really, you're going to church every day, Friday night, and Sunday morning, and it's a kind of maybe, you know, they will start to make fun of you, okay, but in front of God, there's something you have to be proud of. And then the story of Gideon, the real story, the very interesting story starting from now. Then, the first thing he did, accomplished, and he started like, okay, God, I want another sign. It's like, okay, Gideon, what do you want? I'm like, okay, here you go. If you're really God, you have to show me something like very impressive. Okay, tell me what you want. So if he asked anything, he could have it. But Gideon, he's asking for very, very interesting. He's like, you know, I have a like fleece. You know what's fleece? So he's like, okay, I will keep this in front of my door, and I will sleep. In the morning, if I wake up in the morning, and I find all the area around the fleece is dry, and the fleece itself is wet, that means you're God. Really? That's the miracle you're asking for? He's like, yes. Okay, Gideon, go sleep and we'll see. So he wake up in the morning and found the area around the fleece like cracked, like really dry, and the fleece itself like wet. He's like, okay, don't be angry, please, God. Last time. Tonight, and that will be last time. Just if you do this miracle, I will be like, you know, whatever you say. Make this area wet and the fleece is dry. Wow. And God is like so patient. And he said, okay, Gideon, no problem. Go sleep and you will see in the morning, whatever. So in the morning, he woke up and he found the area was like wet and the fleece is dry. And he's like, okay, God, I believe in you now. Whatever you say, I will do. So like, okay, let's start now. You finish everything? You believe in me now? He's like, yes, I do. You're God. So like, okay. Now, we need to save Israel from Midianites, okay? They cry out to me, and I hear them. Let's, like, with your mighty, you will save them. It's like, okay, God, there are 130,000 soldiers, and all of them, like, well-trained and, you know, like, huge, huge army. And he's like, okay, so you go and call people for the like whoever can fight. So he went and he's like, okay, we need you. And he collected like, you know, 32,000 soldiers. And he's like, God, I can't go with 32,000. So God like, yes, that's too much. You will not go with 32,000. Like, no, I'm saying it's not like I can't go like 32,000 people. I guess 132 is like 20% or 21%. You know, I can't. It's like, no, this number is too much for me. You know what? You will go with less because it's not you, it's me. It's not your number, it's me. God who will do it. He's like, okay, go and tell them whoever has any kind of fear will go home. And I imagine it's not written that way. I imagine Gideon's like, I'm sure they will not go home. You know, let's see. And he's like, okay, guys, whoever here have any kind of fear, go home. 22,000 people went home. So it's like, why did you come from the beginning? It's like, I don't know, maybe like we're going to do something, so let's go together. 22,000 people went home and left was 10,000. 10,000 against 132. And he's like, Gideon is like, went to God again. God, like it's only 10,000. It's like still too much. It's too many people. Like, wow. And he believed in God. And he's like, okay, what do you want me to do? Like, go to this river and ask them to drink water from it. Whoever came on his knee, like let him in one side, and whoever like lapped like a dog from the water, I will keep him on the side. And like whoever lapped was like 300, and this is 9,700. It was like Gideon, I imagine Gideon's like, God, I cannot send 300 people. I need them. It's like, no, you will not send 300 people. You will send the 9,700 people, and you will go to the war with the 300 people. 300 and 132,000, that means 0.01 or point something, like 1 over 100, 1%, kind of. So God, the message was from God is, with this 1%, if you offer me 1%, if you offer me 1%, it will be 100% with me. Like, just do it with 1%. And then, okay, God, what to do? Like, you know, I don't know what to do. Like, you know, he thought, okay, what kind of weapon will have? You will send us, like, kind of, you know, weapons. Like, no, you will not carry even weapon. You will not carry even weapon. What will do? So every one of the 300 will carry three things. Okay. Number one, a torch, like light. And there's a kind of vessel, like عارفين اللي هو ايه بيسموه ايه pictures, kind of you can crack it, like you can break it very easy, and a trumpet. Okay, so like, God, you will give us these three things and go to war, like against it. Like, yes, do it. And what happened is, like, at the same time, all the 300 people, like, they break the pitchers, and the light came out of the, from inside, and they start to make the big sound with trumpet, and all the enemy was like, start to feel like, you know, we're in a big war, and like a big army coming to us, and they start to kill themselves and run away. With this way, it was like, wow. And this is how God guided Gideon from nothing, from zero, from, you know, a man of fear, to the man of miracles. Like, he saved Israel by 300 people only. Of course, the meaning of the pictures and the torch and stuff like that, which is like our body, is like even in the fasting time, if you like break your body to let the Holy Spirit shine out of you, you can, no one can stand against you. And then for 40 years, Israel have like a really peace time with this guy. But this is the interesting story, because sometimes when God call us for service, or even call us for, you know, follow him, you will feel like, you know, it's not me. You came to the wrong address. I'm not that guy of, like, you know, I cannot go and fight all the spiritual fight, and, you know, it's not me. Leave me alone. But this guy, he left himself in God's hand, and he became from zero to hero. Verses one, someone like Samson, he was superhero, but he left himself in Delilah's hand. So he started from 100% hero to slave, and he has been killed in a very dramatic way. So the points we can take out from the story, like, you know, even with 1%, God can make a lot with that. Just offer the 1% and let God do the rest. Even sometimes God is so patient with us. We are very simple in faith, like the fleece and, you know, wet and dry. Even in this period of time when our faith was really weak, God is very patient with us. I think I'm done. If you have any question or comment.
The dewy fleece, it's almost an aside, but the fleece that was dry and became wet, it's a type or it's a foreshadowing of the Virgin Mary whose womb was dry and then God made it wet, you know. So I don't know if you know the hymn, O Pure Virgin, O Pure and Virgin Lady. Okay, if you listen to it again tonight or whatever, there's a part that says, "Oh, dewy fleece, most sacred." Okay, and I just made the connection—not today, but like 2 months ago—when I did the talk for the Virgin Mary, and I was like, I always wondered when I was chanting that, like, what does dewy fleece mean? Like, what's a dewy fleece? You know? So I was like, okay, no. So I made that connection. Yeah.
Any other question or comment?